Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Krista Frazier Marcourt, and this is The New Convention.
All right, I got you.
I want to spend more time where rules are not allowed. I want to find myself lost in the crowd. I want to travel past the boundaries so far they disappear. Out here, just the two of us, I make friends with my fear.
Hey everyone, this is The New Convention, where you will hear from people who are living by their own rules, creating new conventions for living a more sustainable, abundant, and most importantly, meaningful life. Before we get started, I want to give a shout out to our first-time listeners. Thank you for joining us today. We love expanding our community of new and emerging mavericks. Living unconventionally, as many of you know, can sometimes be a lonely and scary path because it's hard to be different. But if you're interested in that maverick lifestyle, you've come to the right place. You don't have to start that adventure alone. Join our community of mavericks by following us on Facebook. Our conversations also do not have an expiration date, so feel free to start here or jump back through some of our earlier episodes to get more insights from fellow mavericks in the area such as finance, lifestyle, and relationships. And to our loyal listeners, welcome back. Thank you for your continued support. We wouldn't be here without you. If you like what you hear today, make sure you share the love by sharing this episode with the people in your life and community who are looking to escape the conventional for something more intentional. You can get access to more info as well as extended versions of the show where we get into the really juicy stuff by visiting my website, KristaFM.com, and becoming a member. That's Krista, KristaFM.com. Finally, I'd like to thank Shaw Wild for providing the music we use at The New Convention. You can get access to more of her songs and albums at shawild.com. Let's get started, Mavericks. On today's episode, I'm speaking to Claire Lovelace. Claire is a free-range yogi and spirit, passionate about life, love, and building strong connections between people and nature through mind, body, and spirit. 2 years ago, Claire sold all of her belongings, bought a camper van, and left her previous life behind with no plan, very little money, and just her heart to guide her. She now lives in an area that has captured her soul and teaches others how to break down the psychological, emotional, physical, and energetic barriers that stop us from living our authentic life. Claire, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to dive into our conversation about living more authentically from your heart. Out of all of the people that I'm acquainted with, you are truly an authentic soul. And I think it's so beautiful how you're willing to follow what you value in life and take risks and go after what you want. And it all comes from this very beautiful place that's connected to who you truly are at your core. And I think so many of us, unfortunately, don't live that way. And the more that we can start to awaken to who we truly are and start making decisions in line with that, I think is going to create more happiness in the world in general. So thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thank you. That's a beautiful introduction. Yeah, thank you so much. And I'm just really honored to be a guest on your podcast. So yeah, thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm definitely honored to have you on the show. Where are you calling in from today?
Yeah, so I am in a little place called Rowley, which is a beautiful little coastal village. I found out yesterday there's 1,500 people that live here in this little village. It's beautiful. It's on the far south coast, or maybe mid-south coast, you'd say. The closest town is Batemans Bay.
So this has been an incredibly tough year in Australia. We've had the fires throughout the summer, and once we get over the fires, coronavirus has hit. How are you going through all of this?
Yeah, it's been insane. So much has happened in a year. And so much happened for me last year as well, which, you know, I can talk a little bit about later. This year kind of feels like already like 5 years rolled into one. Personally, I'm doing really, really good. Like I feel extremely settled and connected where I am. Like I just really love this land, and I feel really blessed to be able to do the work that I absolutely love, that I feel is like my soul's work, and do that every day and, you know, get paid for it. So that to me is just everything. And I feel really, really happy here. yeah, throughout all of last year, I was really putting my heart and soul and everything that I've got into building this community and building this business. And so we've got this wellness hub. Well, I say we, it's basically just me, but I do have other teachers teaching for me. The whole of last year, I felt like was all putting in the really, really hard work, like laying the foundations, getting the name out there. I felt like it was all kind of building up and it was working. And right before the fires hit, I was kind of feeling like, oh, you know, I think finally I'm getting somewhere here and I'm finally getting the word out there and more people are coming and it's starting to build and build more organically now instead of me having to get in everyone's faces all the time. So I was kind of gearing up for this really big summer with the studio, and then the fires hit kind of at the end of November, December, January. It was really, really challenging because there were these incredible monster fires, I mean, burning all over New South Wales, but really starting to surround Batemans Bay. And, you know, we had obviously, as you know, the major fire come through on New Year's Eve and rip through the whole, like so much of the community. And even places, like I was living in, at the time, this place called Malua Bay, which is just south of Batemans Bay, a little bit north from where I am now. It's, you know, it's on the coast. It's literally on, all of these places are literally like on the ocean. So, you know, my house now and my house there, you can pretty much see the ocean from the house. And it's kind of suburban. So I just could never, I never would believe, have believed or thought that a fire could come through that kind of area. Yeah, on New Year's Eve, the fires ripped through the whole of Malua Bay and so many homes were destroyed. A huge amount of destruction for the whole community. So yeah, it definitely had a huge impact, and it was just something that happened that, you know, is completely out of all of our control. After that, we were rebuilding, the community's rebuilding. You know, we got a lot of lovely like support from everywhere, really. And you know, over the fires, the studio didn't, it closed a couple of days because everything was just, there was no power for ages. And yeah, everything was just a little bit like a war zone here. It was crazy. But then, you know, stayed open and people started coming back. Then in sort of February, again, it was like, oh, wow, okay, I think everything's starting to build again, like bling, da, 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 da. And then suddenly there's this virus, this COVID thing. And at first, I think like so many people, I was kind of like, oh, like whatever, like it's going to be fine. And then obviously very quickly realized, okay, this is actually has massive implications. So then, yeah, I think it was March 22nd, closed the physical studio doors. We had to obviously, so then since then, we've been running everything online, which has been really good, actually. There's a lot of blessings, I think, with both events in hopefully getting us as a society to kind of, yeah, to really wake up to what's important and to start living more sustainably and treating the earth and treating each other like with respect. And, you know, this whole virus, this whole COVID thing is really encouraging everyone or forcing everyone to slow down and to reassess.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think the devastation that these two major events have had on many people's lives has caused a lot of challenge for so many people. But to your point earlier about these challenges being a blessing in a way where they're waking people up to maybe the way that we're living or the impact that we're having on the environment, or even getting more clear about, is this how I want to live my own personal life? Can be kind of that silver lining, that blessing that comes out of the challenges that helps us grow and evolve and become the people we're really meant to be.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think for me with the COVID situation, when because, you know, like just because the studio is like my baby, you know, like I feel like the business is like my baby, like I've raised it and I put everything into it and I'm up all night sometimes like looking after it. And it was interesting because it had become something that I was really attached to in terms of my identity, and kind of placing my like self-worth on having a studio and having it like succeed, which is kind of not how I want to live, because I'm trying to live without attachments. I spoke to my brother maybe a week or two before we closed, and he basically gave me like a reality check, because he's in England, and he was like, you know, Claire, it's going to happen in Australia. You are going to have to close the studio, so you better start preparing for it. When the physical doors first did close, like I did feel like a big sense of grief and loss, because I thought, well, yeah, like, because I've just put so much work into this, and who am I without this and all of that stuff. But actually it was a really great process of growth, because it made me realize even more deeply, and I, you know, I've been on this path for a while, doing this work for a while, but you get deeper and deeper and deeper all the time. Like, you know what, my self-worth is not tied up in the studio or with what I do. And just by being me and just being who I am, like I am enough just as I am, even if I don't do anything. And so really kind of coming to terms with that self-acceptance and like that deep self-love that isn't tied to a set of external circumstances, that's been a really good lesson. And you know, I'm just so grateful for all of the practices and for my practice, my meditation, all of the teachings that I've been exposed to over the years, because in situations like that, when the rug is really pulled out from under you, and there's been a lot of those situations in the last few years for me, you really realize the benefit of it, and you really get serious about, okay, like now I get it. Like all of that practice, all of that time on the mat, all of that time sitting in meditation, all of that work to like step up in your life and be courageous and not just go along with things and set boundaries and like all of it, then when shit hits the fan, it's like, okay, well now I understand why, and I've got this now, and it's there for me as a support system to navigate this difficult time. So yeah, that's what happened with the studio closing. And so I was, even though I felt, you know, I felt the grief and the sadness, but because of the work that I've done, and like I was able to see that and have compassion for myself throughout it, and realize that these strong emotions, you know, they're not, they don't define who I am, and they're basically impermanent, and they're going to change. The next day after the studio closed, we transitioned all the classes to Zoom, and it was like very easy. So it's just being able to take action and also trust that whatever happens, like everything is going to be okay. So that was really good, because I felt like I could just take that action and be like, okay, like everything's online, and not get paralyzed in the indecision, which, yeah, the mindfulness practice has really taught me. You know, I don't really worry about things being perfect. So the classes online, you know, they're not perfect. They're not a slick operation. They're, you know, they're us teaching from our living rooms, and maybe, you know, the sound quality or the audio or the visual isn't always amazing. But I quickly realized that what people want, what our students wanted, and what people that are familiar with my classes and with the other teachers' classes wanted, wasn't a slick production. They just wanted to practice with us. That's actually a real revelation, because for ages I've been wanting to put more online, and I see, you know, really see the benefit of having an online content and having you know, online courses and online teacher trainings. Like I really see the benefit of that in so many ways, but I haven't done it because I guess I've been stuck in what I was just talking about, is that sort of indecision. And for me, I really did have this kind of core belief that was wrong, that, well, why would people want to practice with me when they can go on to Yoga Glow, for example, and there's all the huge name teachers, and it's $10 a month, and it, you know, there's so much out there on so many platforms that's done really well. But what this whole thing has taught me is that actually that personal connection is worth more, and people are actually willing to pay, you know, $10 for a drop-in class. We do different offers and things like that, but they're willing to pay that because they know me and they want to practice with me, or they want to practice with the other teachers. So that's kind of been a massive wake-up call.
And that's such an important message because myself included, we as people often think, well, what do I have to offer the world? Why would people want to listen to me when there's already people out there doing it and their production is really slick? Why would they come to my yoga class or listen to my podcast or whatever that you're putting out there? And it's true that when you're putting your authentic self in the world, you will attract people back to you that want to hear from you specifically and want to hear your message. And I hope for our listeners out there, as you're listening to this, you are brave and courageous enough to start putting yourself out there. And there will be the haters, but that has really nothing to do with you. Anybody who is personally attacking somebody else, that's somebody else's, you know, limiting beliefs and pain and hurt that they're dealing with. And if you can realize that and set it aside, it allows you to put yourself out into the world and ignore the haters and find that group of people that you can really connect with and add value to. So thank you for sharing that, Claire. I think that's such an important lesson.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah. And it's a daily practice in whatever way. You know, for me, it's about living with awe and reverence and gratitude for this life, because understanding the preciousness of this life, understanding that this life isn't permanent, understanding that it's fleeting. So having that gratitude every single day in whatever way, and, you know, really getting kind of honest with ourselves. And I think the really hard work for me isn't necessarily coming to my mat every day, but for me it's been like really speaking my truth. I know that it is the only way to freedom, really, and to my own inner peace. So, and I, you know, I ask myself this question like really regularly, like, is this thought, this word, this action, is it leading me toward inner peace, or is it taking me away from inner peace? There can be this misconception, and I've definitely got caught in this kind of thinking as well, like, if I do enough meditation, if I spend enough hours on my mat, if I do enough asana practice, if I drink enough green smoothies, like, then I'll finally get to this place. I won't feel jealous. I won't feel shame. I won't feel sadness. And of course, that is not true at all. And that isn't the goal of the practice. And it doesn't happen, because life happens and life unfolds in so many different ways. And, you know, that just this last year, and even for me the year before, my dad had a bad cycling accident back in February last year, so February 2019. And that again was this whole everything ripping out from underneath me. And I'd had the studio then for maybe three or four months. And it was really needing to be nurtured all the time. And then suddenly I get this call that my dad is in a coma. So,
oh my God.
The rush back to England. And he's actually fine now.
Oh, that's so good to hear. Being an expat, that's one of the hardest things you could ever hear.
Yeah. It's that phone call that you dread. And I mean, again, I kind of assumed that he's, and both my parents are like invincible, because they're both so healthy and they live such a healthy life, and they live in the countryside and they're outside all the time, and they eat the vegetables from their garden, and they've always lived in this very simple way. So they've been really healthy throughout their whole life and still are. And my dad is now fine. It's like literally is such a miracle, because yeah, he fell off his bike and sustained massive head injuries. He wasn't wearing a helmet. Like, people just don't really wear helmets in England. That happened at the beginning of last year. So I was actually running a retreat, and suddenly I get this phone call in the middle of the retreat from my mum and my brother, who were in the critical care unit. I was kind of in shock, and I just left, and I just like got on the first flight that I could find, and, you know, I had to leave the retreat, drive 4 hours back down to Batemans Bay, get my passport, come all the way back to Sydney, jump on that plane, and be in the air for, you know, however long it is.
I can't even imagine what you must have been going through. I mean, to have to drive all the way back to Batemans Bay for 4 hours, get your passport, go back to Sydney, and then get on a 30-hour flight. That must have been excruciating.
Yeah, but again, it's my practice that got me through it. Yeah, it was really, really, really hard, like really hard. Again, it's this deep trust that I've gained through my practice, this deep trust that I am supported, and whatever happens, you know, like whatever situation I was going back to, because, you know, I didn't know if he was going to still be alive. Like, I just didn't know what the situation was going to be at all. But I knew that whatever was going to unfold, it would be as it is, and I would be okay, and, you know, we would be okay, and the family would be okay, whatever happened, because tap into that really deep inner knowing. That really taught me about life being so fleeting, and we think that we're so indestructible in some ways, but anything can happen. So
yeah, it is so precious. And it really reminds me of the quote that you shared with me in your bio from Mary Oliver. Tell me, what do you plan to do with this one wild and precious life? And ever since you made me aware of that quote, I ask myself that question every single day.
I just think, like, yeah, life is so precious. And the yoga practice and the meditation practice and everything that we do, it doesn't mean that these things won't happen. But what it does do is instill in us a sense of trust. My breathing practice, like my Ujjayi breath practice, like that got me through that flight. Like, I can take a breath in and I can take a breath out and I can take a breath in. And I can also see myself in this really, really difficult situation and actually have a lot of compassion for myself. And I think that's something that's so powerful. And I think that what we tend to do, maybe not in that situation particularly, but what we tend to do when something's hard, or when we feel sad, or when we feel angry, or when we feel jealous, or we feel these emotions that are challenging, what we tend to do is add on this extra layer of suffering by thinking, I should not feel like this, and I'm bad for feeling like this. So it's from I'm experiencing a bad feeling to then I'm bad. And I think that's when it really gets into something that's very, very dangerous and hard to get out of, because that's when we're not practicing self-love, we're practicing the opposite.
Yeah, I've definitely found myself in that situation where there's a lot of self-blame and you're angry at yourself for the decisions that you've made or the way that you're feeling about something. So it's really good to get that reminder that it's okay to feel certain ways and to focus on having that self-love and self-compassion.
Yeah, exactly. And it's that, I think that self-blame and judgment and that shame, that is what can keep us really, really stuck. Like, I love the work of Brené Brown. Like, I love the way that she talks about shame and vulnerability, and how we need to, like, open up these places that might be sort of festering within us. And instead of trying to shut them down and think, I'm bad, and then I'm not going to tell anyone what I'm feeling, or I'm not going to talk about the shame that I'm experiencing, if we can, like, send love and send kindness into those areas, and also be really honest. Like, you know, I'm not talking about we have to go up to everyone and smash it all over on social media, like, oh my god, this shameful thing happened. Like, it's not that, but it's not like not trying to hide parts of ourselves, and not trying to hide, like, what we assume is bad about ourselves, but kind of bring it into the light. That's all that shadow integration work that I've been working a lot with, which is basically accepting ourselves exactly as we are, and accepting the fact that we all have shadow and light, and the shadow isn't there. It's simply, like, unilluminated.
What recommendations do you have for people who are looking to live more authentically and more from that heart space, but may be a little bit afraid to do so?
Firstly, I believe that the numbness and the disconnection that can come from not following your heart is far, 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 far greater and much harder to be with than what you gain when you do take that risk and you do follow your heart and you do really listen to that inner voice. The challenges that can come up for me anyway have been, you know, nothing in comparison to how I felt when I wasn't following my path, because I didn't know what it was at that stage, or you know, when I just felt really, really lost, or I wasn't connecting with myself. You know, the sadness, the grief, the numbness, the just bad feeling was so much greater then. So often we wait until we know what we want to do. Well, we think we need to wait until like our calling kind of magically finds us. I don't think that it doesn't work like that. It wasn't that I suddenly thought, oh my God, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go be a yoga teacher. So I basically didn't wait until I knew what I wanted to do, because I never did. And if I'd waited till that, I mean, I don't think I'd be here now, and I don't know what would happen, but I don't think it would be the same story. I don't know exactly what happened. I think I was having a conversation with a friend, and he'd been traveling when he was a bit younger, and he was saying like, well, why don't you just go? Why don't you just book a flight? And then I pretty much did. Like the next day, I was like, right, that's what I'm going to do. And the next day I just booked a flight, a one-way flight to Bangkok. And then a few weeks later I left. So I just left everything. Like I left the job that I was in. I left the apartment that I was living in. Like I left all my friends, my family. Yeah, I just had this tiny little backpack. and I just booked this one-way flight, and that was it. So that's what has, you know, that one action is basically what brought me here now. But, and that's what got me out of that feeling really, really stuck. So I felt this call that I had to change something. Like what I was doing wasn't working, but I had no idea like what I wanted to do or where I wanted to go or anything. And I booked this flight without knowing anything. I had no plan. I just wanted to go. I just wanted to experience something. And again, I kind of had this trust, and this is before I'd done any meditation or anything or knew what it was. The advice that I would give is do not let your mind even have a say. Your mind will always look for ways to convince you out of everything. And it still happens to me like all the time, like even the littlest thing, like, oh, I'm going to do this yoga class. And the mind's like, maybe you shouldn't do that. Maybe you should just like scroll on Instagram instead. If we listen to our mind and we believe it and we let it run the show, we're never going to do anything. But just remember why you want to do it in the first place. Come back to like your gut instinct about it, your intuition. And I think for me back then, I did, you know, I had a strong sense of that still. Like I knew that it felt, and I thought that's how I live like my life. It's like on how things feel, because I know that my mind isn't like, you know,
It's not meant to make you happy. It's meant to keep you safe.
Totally. 100%.
What recommendations do you have for people to start living more from that heart space and get out of the head space?
Really practical thing too is like every day, check in with yourself, like just put your hand on your heart and ask yourself, well, how do I feel? And not judge what comes up. And if you're not used to connecting with your feelings, it can be useful to have a journal. And journaling is a great practice for everyone. Like write down how you feel. In like first thing in the morning when I wake up, and I got this practice from Tara Brach, hand on my heart and say good morning to myself. So good morning, Claire. And then when people feel ready to, because it can be confronting at first, it's like, good morning, Claire, I love you. So you start to create this relationship with yourself, and you start to, yeah, trust how you really, really feel, which isn't so much the emotions that fluctuate, but like this deep felt sense of what's right for me. It's intuition really, and it's at the gut as well. So, you know, one hand on your heart, one hand on your belly, like connecting with that, what feels right. And it's that feeling that we might get of like, you know, you walk into a room or you're about to walk down a street and you're like, wait, that doesn't feel right. Like we have to trust that.
So Claire, I want to fast forward to 2 years ago when you made the decision to sell all of your belongings and you had very little money, had no plan, and you just hit the road and left Sydney and started out on a new adventure, very similar to what you did early in your life, but I think you were at a much different place emotionally.
After all of that travel, so I traveled around a lot. I traveled around Southeast Asia. I traveled around Australia. I went to Canada. Yeah, and then I was living in Sydney, and then that was the kind of the most stable that I'd been for a very long time. I was in Sydney for 4 years. And, you know, effectively I was living like my dream life because I was teaching, I found my purpose. I found, like, as soon as I discovered yoga, meditation, mindfulness, and the philosophy behind it, like, that was it. I was like, yeah, just all of this. By the end of that time in Sydney, I had my dream job and I was getting paid well for it. I had some really good corporate clients. I was really building my reputation as a teacher and people were wanting to come to my classes and kind of seeking me out. And it wasn't me trying to hustle, like people would ask me to teach at their studio or whatever. So I think, yeah, like things were really good. And I lived with some really beautiful friends of mine in Marrickville and I loved my house and I had loads of friends around and I mean, yeah, my life was really, really good. But for some reason, I had this, again, like this feeling, this gut feeling of you got to leave the city. And I wanted to leave the city and I wanted to be out in nature. And I love being surrounded by nature and being surrounded by trees and being places where there's no people. And yeah, the city, you know, it was really kind of, it was draining, especially around the city teaching a million yoga classes. You know, people sometimes think yoga teachers are so relaxed. Like, oh, you. And I'm like, oh my God, if only you knew. yeah, a lot of the time it's like you're running around the city trying to make ends meet and teaching for like $50 a class and, you know, anyway. So yeah, but by the end of it, you know, it was actually really cushy and I had all these really like well-paying jobs. And so that was, it was quite hard to leave because I was like, oh, I'm so comfortable. And, for the first time in my life, really, I was making like what I consider like really good money. And, yeah, I mean, it's probably not comparably, I don't know, whatever, it's all relative. But for me, I was like, you know what, this is good. Anyway, I had this gut feeling that I had to leave. So yeah, I did. I bought a van for like $5,000 and then I made this decision. And yeah, you know, again, everyone was like, what, why, what are you doing? You're crazy. Like you're literally saying goodbye to all these really good like teaching jobs that you've just worked really, really hard to get. And, you're doing so well in Sydney and blah, 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 building your reputation. And obviously like you get mixed responses. And I was thinking the same thing. I was like, yeah, like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like I am crazy. There was a lot of, I guess there was fear around how am I going to make money? Like, yeah, for sure. That fear was there. But like I said, I just kind of trusted my gut over my head. When you make a decision and you actually commit to it and you're brave enough to do it, there's this saying, leap and the net will appear. And if you're still holding on to something, whether it's a relationship or financial security or blah, 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 blah. But yeah, once I'd made that decision, I mean, yeah, just the amount of opportunities that started flooding in, like suddenly I'd get studios that I'd never heard of before through a friend of a friend or whatever. They were contacting me and saying, will you teach a yin teacher training at our studio? Which was kind of like my initial plan was I'll just be a traveling yogi and live in my van and just run the odd teacher training and the odd class or the odd workshop around the place. But I really had no plan. And then one of those calls led me to Batemans Bay. And then all these things just happened. So then one of my students said, oh, if you're going south, my parents have a house in Batemans Bay that they live in, but they're going to be away in Europe for 3 months. You can just stay in this house. And I've experienced this so much throughout my life and I believe in it so strongly. Just make that jump and you will be supported. Promise you, things will come. You just got to be open to it. So then all this stuff started coming in and it was even on a kind of physical level, like I gave away
all of my things. And it was kind of interesting because me and my friends were all moving out of that house. So we'd have like little yard sales like every weekend, and we'd all sit out there and drink wine, and, you know, we'd basically just give everything away. At first I was just giving away the things that I didn't want or that I didn't like anymore. But then I just thought, actually, I'm just going to do this experiment and give away everything. Like even the things that I really, really love, like a piece of jewelry or whatever that I really love, or these clothes that I really love, or whatever it was, I'm just going to put it all out there to practice like non-attachment. And so I did, and it was actually such a beautiful feeling. And, you know, someone would come and like there's this whatever it was, like a beautiful dress that I loved. And there was this fleeting like, oh. But then honestly, like that, just that simple process was so beautiful, because as soon as that initial and I felt the tightness and I felt the like fear or whatever it was, and I'm just like, it's fine. And then I you know, I saw how much enjoyment people were getting from this stuff for a start, and then I felt so free not to have this attachment to stuff, and it was really beautiful. And then as soon as I did that, one of my friends, she was like, oh my god, Claire, like, do you want to come over, because I'm just giving away all of my beautiful vintage clothes. So I've seen this happen so many times when you give openly without expectation of getting anything in return, you really do get rewarded. It comes back in so many different forms. So keep giving, live in service, it will come back. That's just happened to me so much, especially over the last couple of years. Like I'd give everything away and then I'd get all this other amazing stuff for free. You know what I mean?
Oh, I totally agree. When you put something out into the universe, I do think that it comes back tenfold. You've talked a lot about trust and how important trust is. How would you recommend people go about developing this trust if it's not something they have relied on strongly in the past?
For me, it comes back to trust and appreciation of the natural world. So I would recommend on a really practical level, having a meditation practice that is based in nature. So it doesn't have to be like meditation as you might normally think of it, sort of sitting and eyes closed, but go out for a daily walk, find a place that you connect with, whether it's a park near where you are or a particular tree, you know, anywhere that you can be outside and connect to the natural environment. Get as close to the earth as possible, like with your skin. So, you know, if it's a park, take your shoes off, or the beach, or, you know, find a spot. Start a communication, start a conversation with the earth around you. Now, I think that, you know, that sounds kind of like crazy to some people maybe, but you don't have to literally speak, but sit there and observe what's going on around you. So I think when we observe nature, we automatically trust, because we see that everything in nature works in reciprocity. Everything is supporting each other. With ourselves, I'd recommend doing a little experiment, and you don't have to go the whole hog straight away. Start small and just start this process of giving. If there's someone in front of you in the line, just say, hey, I'm going to buy your coffee today. Maybe it's just being really kind to someone on the street, like smiling or offering help with something. Like try giving something to a friend. Just try it. Practice this selfless giving. Every day, do something that scares you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Claire. I think we've gotten some really good tips for people to start living more authentically and from their heart. And as we start to wrap up, I like to give listeners a challenge to try out some of the concepts we've covered today. So do you have a challenge that our listeners can try?
Yeah, a challenge would be every day, do something that's out of your comfort zone.
To wrap up our conversation, I want to move into the lightning round and ask you some rapid fire questions for our listeners to get to know you a little bit better. So what is the scariest thing you've ever done?
Get on that flight to Bangkok.
What is the craziest thing you've ever done?
Probably walk through the jungle covered in leeches when I was in Laos with no shoes on.
Oh my God, that sounds so horrible.
They just came and the shoes that I was wearing broke, and I was in the middle of the jungle on this like 4-day trek, and I was literally like covered in leeches from my knees down. Yeah, but it was amazing though. I got good stories out of it.
Oh, I hope so, because I don't think I could have kept going. And if you could start a new convention in this area, a new normal, what would it be?
Value kindness over money.
Beautiful. A few other guests have said that as well. And finally, Claire, how can people connect with you and learn more about the work that you do?
I have a studio in Batemans Bay. We have the physical studio, or I have the physical studio and an online component. So I'll give you that first. So the studio is called Soul Tribe. The website is soultribestudio.com.au. You can connect with me via the Soul Tribe social media. So Instagram is Soul Tribe Studio. The Facebook is Soul Tribe Studio. The email is hello@soultribestudio.com.au. You can also follow my personal page, Claire Lovelace. I've got my website, clairelovelace.com. My Instagram, Claire Lovelace. My Facebook is Claire Lovelace Yoga. My phone number is 0447-617-619. So yeah, I really would love to connect with anyone who's interested in starting a yoga or meditation journey, or deepening their awareness in any way. I run regular teacher trainings. I personally teach about 12 classes a week at the moment online via Zoom through the Soul Tribe portal. I'm running regular workshops. So yeah, follow my social media pages, and look forward to hearing from you.
And that's our show today. Thank you so much for joining us. If you want to learn more about Claire, make sure you sign up and become a member, help support the podcast, and learn more about how to live authentically. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you or someone you know is living by their own rules and has a great story to tell, contact me at thenewconvention@kristafm.com. Remember to live by your values to live your life. We'll catch you next time, Mavericks.
I want to spend more time where rules are not allowed. I want to find myself lost in the crowd. I want to travel past the boundaries so far they disappear. Out here, just the two of us, I make friends with my fear. I have something in me that I want you to see, because it is so beautiful. To earth on a rainbow, seduced by the gods of the sea. Decided to go my own way though, so I wriggled until I was free. Delivered to earth on a rainbow, seduced by the gods of the sea. Decided to go my own way though, so I wriggled until I was free. So I could. That soothes the soul. I'm just a younger woman who's not growing old. Delivered to earth on a rainbow, seduced by the gods of the sea. Decided to go my own way though, so I wriggled until I was free. Delivered to earth on a rainbow, seduced by the gods of the sea. Decided to go my own way though, so I wriggled until I was free. So to be free, I go outside the law. It's where I want to be. I run away from people, shoot a flare into the sky. Cross my fingers, hoping peace finds me before I die.